I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next interview is with Gustavo Samarán, and we talk about his new film, Lots of Kids, a Monkey, and a Castle. 400 hours of footage, took him 11 years, 14-year project, but 11 years to edit, to turn it into a film that is charming and delightful and such an intimate look into not only this family, but into, again, issues that matter. We talk about families, we talk about relationships, and about how we piece this together in such an entertaining and compelling way. What a huge, huge commitment this was, and what a fun film it is, and something that I think everybody needs to see. You're going to want to not only listen to the interview, but you're definitely going to want to check into this film. We talk about wisdom and rich life experience, and about how the technique here was so secondary to the story that Gustavo wanted to tell. This is about our family. This is about our history. This is about memory. And he really, Gustavo goes on to create quite a compelling argument for why we need to all film our parents at some time in their lives, because of this deep, rich experience and wisdom that we can access. Coming right up, this interview about Lots of Kids, a Monkey, and a Castle, the film, and the family. Don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and speaking. Also, facetofacelive.ca for more info, and a whole new host of interviews around the Toronto International Film Festival, so many engaging, wonderful films this year, and also rabble.ca for writing and podcasting and blogging around issues that matter. Coming right up, Gustavo Samarán and Lots of Kids, a Monkey, and a Castle. Welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very, very special guest here with us today, Gustavo Samarán, here, a director and an actor. Quite an acclaimed actor, here to talk about his film today, Lots of Kids, a Monkey, and a Castle. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So you've been in Toronto a couple of days. You are enjoying the film festival. I'm assuming you're enjoying the film festival. How is it all going?
Well, the film festival is amazing. You have a bunch of great, great films. And, well, it's very exciting to be here, especially with this film that I made with Mini DV, that is a very, very old format, you know. So now suddenly we are in Toronto, and that's kind of cool, you know.
Did you say Mini DV? Is that what you mean?
Mini DV is like the little
The old tapes, yeah.
The old tapes.
They're not that old.
Yeah, they're pretty old.
Well, in the history of film, I guess, they're
yeah,
not that
I mean,
old,
it's
right?
Like from, I don't know, I started shooting in 2001 or 2002 actually. So, well, you know, now an iPhone or a phone has more quality than a mini DV.
Yes, it's remarkable. There's a film at the festival called High Fantasy from South Africa, all filmed on an iPhone. except for some drone shots, and it's a beautiful film. It's, I mean, the photography is crazy. It's really remarkable. So you've been shooting since 2001. This is a real, I mean, this is, what a, by the way, congratulations.
Thank
what
you
a,
very
what
much.
What a remarkable film. What a remarkable family.
Yes.
Were you all just born comedians? Is that?
It sounds like that. I mean, when I see the film and they are actors, so they are really, really funny. My mom, my father,
your mother,
as well.
Your mother is hysterical. Your father is hysterical. There's a beat. There's a delivery. And your editing is utterly genius, the way you've pieced it together to tell this story over so many years in different formats. It's clearly there's something that runs in the blood of your family.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Oh, there, his brother is walking by. Hello, nice to meet you. We're in the lobby of the hotel here in Toronto, just chatting about a remarkable family.
Yes.
So different formats, 14, 15 years. When you started filming, clearly, did you have this vision? Was this where you were heading?
Well, the thing is that at the beginning, I started shooting my mom because she was very funny.
Yes.
And especially because she was many things. She had many things to tell, you know,
yes,
like
yes.
old stories
yes.
from
yes.
the family.
Yes.
So this, you know, these old people that. When you record them, they have something unique to tell, you know.
There's a life experience. There's a wisdom.
Yes, that's right. And that's why I recommend to my friends, like record your grandparents, record your grandmother if they are very old and they have a life with rich in experience. It would be great if you had the opportunity to do it, because now you have the telephones, the phones. You have the little cameras that are really good, quality, and you can make a film by yourself, or at least a short film about your family. So, what I didn't really knew what was going to be exactly the film about. I knew it was going to be like the story of this woman.
Yes.
But the life started to take advantage of the film. You know, life, the script started to move in the way that the life it is, you know. I don't know if
it took it took on a life of its own in a way.
Yeah, it's like life was most interesting than whatever I could imagine or that I could write.
Right.
And because
right.
it was a documentary,
yes.
has to be real. So that was I was very serious about. To make everything real, not to do anything fiction or fake, any part of the film. So all the film, even if you can think that it's invent, is real.
So as an actor, for many years, how did that inform when you say how you filmed, did you just capture what was going on in front of you?
No.
Was it more important to you the moment? Than the sort of the technique. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. The technique was in a second position. For me, the most important thing was to shoot as close as I could from the characters. And I knew that I didn't want to have a voiceover.
Right.
I don't like voiceover. I mean, I like, there are amazing films
with
voiceover, but I thought for this film, no voiceover. And any artificial film, I didn't want in this film, you know? So it was like, for me as an actor, what I always was looking for, it is, to be as much present in the moment, stay in the moment. Like these great actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Al Pacino, Meryl Streep, Gina Rowlands, all these great actors, that when you see them acting, they're like very relaxed and very, very, they have a presence, powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
So when I start shooting my mom, I look at the tapes, I say, wow, she has something that I was looking for that all my life, trying to be like that in the films, and she just do it just like that, you know, like very easily. So that's why I thought that I have a really good character.
But this is your mother, right? This is your mother. She's not acting.
She's not acting, that's of course. I mean, we cannot compare her with this actor that I just told you.
Right. But still has the presence.
Yes, I mean, she's just being herself.
Being herself, yes.
But even though this is a quality, has to have a quality, because you can put the camera on her just at this distance, very, very close to her, and she doesn't look the camera, she's like acting or
really
talking.
Really interesting.
So she has that.
Well, there's a theatrical edge to your mother in a way. I would imagine she walks into a room, and she just kind of takes over.
Yes, that's true. Everybody, when she's talking, like everybody listens.
Everybody listens. Yes. So your mom has some pretty interesting ideas about life, and death, and family, and about history and about memory, and how she. Tell us a little bit about your mom. When somebody says to you, so what is she like? What is she really like? She collects all these things, or has collected many, many, many things over the years. Well, and the film is kind of a mystery too, in a way, right? Because you're trying to find something.
Yes, that's true. I mean, you are always trying to find who is your family, because if you want to know who you are, well, in a way, you have to look.
It's good.
You have to find your family. You have to, like, to discover your own family. And the best, I mean, it's better than going to the shrink or to the psychologist. It's make a documentary about your family, because I took 2 years editing, and I had to
2 years to edit.
And I had to watch my like 400 hours of my family talking. That it was really a very powerful thing for me. So I discovered so many things about the past, and of course she's a character that is funny, that is interesting, that has so many very contradictory. How do you say contradictory?
She has many
contradictions.
Yeah, contradictions, paradox.
Because she can say one thing and the other, in the other hand, to say the opposite thing at the same time. That's my other two brothers there.
The family is coming in slowly.
Yeah.
Looks like dinner is on the way here.
Yes. Today we have the second day of a screening here.
Oh, TIFF. Very good. Very good. So, and how have the audiences been?
The audience is like really amazing.
I never
thought that, the people start clapping in the middle of the film. They laugh like a lot. And they, at the end, they stand up and they were clapping for 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Why does your mom, or did your mother, collect so many things over the years of her lives? Why wouldn't she let go? I mean, she says in the movie, in the film, it's a part of her, it's a part of her past, as if it's a memory. And she almost gets angry.
Yes.
When I think you ask the question, like, why would you even question this?
Well, I think it's because they lived. She was born in 1935, just 1 year before the war, and she was in the war during the war and after the war. Was very poor.
Mm.
So the people, all Spain, they were poor.
Yeah,
no?
Sure.
So the people didn't have nothing to, you know, there was no plastic at that time, but one crystal, one glass. Or one spoon, or something very basic, for them was a treasure.
Sure.
So when this generation, they start to keeping things,
They
didn't know if another war could come.
Right.
You know, so they start to keep and keep and keep, because the memories, because the family as well, because it was the only person alive in the family. Like from the old people.
Sure. Yep.
So,
but I mean, we're talking about hoarder. Boxes and boxes. How many trucks did it take to empty the castle? Six.
Yeah, it was six trucks. Yeah. The thing was, we had to do it ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, and the things she had.
But in the things she keeps, there's a scene with with the diarrhea pills.
Yeah.
And the teeth.
Yeah.
That... And I think you raised the question, who keeps somebody's teeth in a pill bottle for diarrhea?
Yeah, and you know? Actually in her grandmother's vertebra. Mm. In a diarrhea pills box.
Oh, sorry, the vertebrae, not the teeth, the vertebrae.
The vertebrae.
That's right.
No, the teeth were in the saccharine.
That's right, in the saccharine.
In the saccharine containers.
Right. Yes. So I hope you're getting a sense for the comedy in the film.
Yeah. But see, the thing is that she, I don't know how to explain this in English. Maybe you can help me. It's something about give an the object quality of humanity. It's like. You have a pen.
Yes.
Imagine this pen,
yeah.
And you give the pen like a human life.
So you humanize it.
Humanize it.
Yeah.
So she humanized the objects. That's why she doesn't want to throw the objects away.
Could she go anywhere in the house, pick up an object, and tell you the story behind it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Actually, I have hours of that. Telling me, but it was too long. So it was too long.
Yes. Would you say it's your mother's attempt at, like, is this how she created life in a way? Like, is your mother an artist?
I think she's an artist. Yes, she's an artist. She has an artist soul.
An artist soul, yes.
And she gave us an artist education. And then suddenly the money came when she.
Inherited. Yes.
Inherited.
Yes.
The
yes,
money.
Yes. Yes.
And we
to buy the castle.
Yeah.
We're not kidding, by the way, folks. There's a monkey, lots of kids, six, I think, and a castle full of stuff.
Yes.
That's kind of the log line in a way for the film, isn't it?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
Well, it's just Gustavo. So it's such an intimate portrayal of this the average and everyday life that we all kind of live in a way. Your family clearly was more, you know, way different than mine. But there's a history. Everywhere you go, there's a history.
Yeah.
There's a family. There's an intimacy of one kind or another.
Yes, all families are unique. Every human being has something unique. Even the person that looks like someone who is like a very average, normal person who doesn't have anything interesting, it has something interesting. Because but you have to go deep on it, and you have to see, you have to show, as a director, the shadows and the light of that character.
The shadows
and
the light, yes.
So, because if not, it's kind of just something that doesn't go really, it's not interesting at all. Could be interesting for a short film, you know, something funny for a short film, 10 minutes, yeah, it's okay. But if you want to make a feature film, you need to have shadows and light. You know, something has to happen to this person. So, but all the families has that. I mean,
what's your mother's darker side? Would you say she was a fascist at some point in her life? She became she's a Catholic. She wore a large cross. She talks about the cross she wore and her grandmother, and then she says very. Definitively, I'm an atheist now. I mean, why would you believe in anything at all? Like, she's really gone through this major transformation. Right?
That's the interesting thing about her, because when she was a little kid, she was 2 years old, her grandma was killed by the communists.
Yes.
So she grew up in with the fear of communists.
Sure.
So she became like a... And it was a... It was a dictatorship fascist in Spain, Franco.
Yes,
no?
Yes.
So that's why she was like supporting Franco when she was a kid. She was a kid, you know. But through her life, she started to change.
Yes.
And that's the interesting thing about the film, that she began being, like, she wanted to be a nun.
That's right.
You know,
yes.
She was
yes.
very Catholic. And
yes.
at the end of the film, she was completely
atheist. Yeah, yeah.
So there is but the dark side is like, I think it's like there is the harder part. She wants to keep everything.
Yes.
And that's include the family together,
yes,
the kids.
Yeah.
So when a mother wants to keep the kids at the house, at the family house, even if they are 40, she managed to do, like, they come back home to live with her. And I think that's kind of dark. Well, I would say also, you know, there is something with the food, with the, you know, the, I mean, she eats a lot and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is things that are hurting her and hurting the family, but
Don't you ask her at one point, or somebody asked her at one point, don't you think you can live a more spiritual life if you give some of these things away? Which is just such a funny question when you're in the middle of mountains of stuff. It's just a wonderful question. It's funny, it's insightful, it makes you think.
Yeah, I made the questions. And you think that if you give all this trust or all these things away, you don't have anything that's gonna elevate you to a spiritual life. And she say no.
And the look on her face is just brilliant. Yeah. When she said, no, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
is this something to do you think, with, I couldn't help but think, your mom seems to talk or think a lot about death.
Yeah,
that's clearly a theme in the film.
Yes, it is, absolutely.
Is she afraid of it? Is she trying to hold it off?
Yeah, that's a good question. I still don't know, but I think she's afraid of death. That's why she talks about death all the time. But in a way, I think it's very smart to do that, because if you don't face death, you are fucked.
Yeah, agreed.
Because, I mean, if you face death, you live your life with more intensity. But if you...
It's good.
If you don't look... I mean, if you... So it's like...
I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago about a film, and they said death's an inspiration.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of an interesting...
There is no meaning of life without death. So sometimes happen in the modern culture that families, they don't want little kids to be in contact with death.
Right.
Like, imagine the grandfather died and they don't tell anything to the kid.
Right.
And they said, it's in the sky, in heaven.
Right.
Things
right.
like that. No, you have to explain kids what is death. And they have to see a dead body.
Right.
I mean, not a dead body in the street that is being killed, but just maybe the grandfather or someone, dead body, you know, the corpse or something, to understand what is death. The thing about my mom and about this generation is that they walk down the street when they were kids and they saw bodies.
That's right. She
that they were
it.
Killed
yeah.
in the war. So that's something that I think is also something that, I mean, I cannot imagine being a kid because I didn't have that life. Seeing dead people the time in a war.
Yeah. Well, she at one point, I think she sort of says, well, what do you expect? This is what I grew up with. This is my history, the violence of my history, my past. Why would I be any other way? It's just, and there's a lot of truth in that.
It is.
Tell me about your dad a little bit. Before we end the interview, I'd love to hear a little. He's very quiet. He appears in the film. He strikes me as a kind of a pillar, if you know what I mean, of the family.
A pillar
like a column that holds up a building.
Absolutely.
Very strong.
A pillar.
Smiles at your mother. Doesn't take her too seriously.
Yes.
Anyway, tell me a bit about him. He's a man of few words.
I mean, the good thing about the two characters is that they are very opposite, you know?
Mm.
It's like she talks a lot, he doesn't talk that much. She is like crazy in all sense, and he's very, as you say, a pillar, you know, of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So that works. It works pretty good in terms of action, in terms of writing of a structure of like when you have two opposite characters. There is like there's something that moves the film and the scenes better.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's very, I don't know how to say in English, sorry about that.
That's okay, no, that's
but,
okay.
He has something like very, very, he has a sense of humor, but he's very quiet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I don't
well,
have
there's
words
a
to
there's
explain
a conversation
it.
Where, in the film that you capture with between your mom and your dad, where they're kind of talking about their relationship.
Yes.
And it's sort of hard to watch in a way because it's so intimate.
Yes.
And so honest. And yet there's an intimacy to it and a charm and you get a warmth, you know? And
yeah.
It really comes through, Gustavo, in the film. And it's remarkable that you've been able to capture it, that they let you even capture it, actually.
Yeah,
that's
because
also
the camera was very, very close.
I bet.
And they knew. So I think they have this sense of show business. Like, show business, I don't know if it's the show must go on.
The show must go on.
You know,
yes,
it's
yes,
like,
yes,
I mean, our son, the youngest son, wants to make a film. He's been shooting for 12, 14 years. So we have to help him.
We have to help him, yes.
You know, he wants to tell a story, so what we can do,
that's
you know?
Right, we're going to help.
So, yeah. And they know about what, in a way, they have this emotional intelligence to know what is fun and what is could be fun or not.
It's quite remarkable to me that you filmed it over, I mean, 14 years. This is a significant period of time in anyone's family.
No.
Huge commitment and a passion for you. Did you know it was going to take you that long to get here? Or did you have more of a 2 to 3 year idea in mind?
I didn't know it was going to be that long. Actually, if you see the poster, did you have the chance to see the poster?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, the poster is me 11 years ago.
Okay.
In the castle with my mom. It was the last day of shooting. 11 years ago, I called a friend of mine who's a photographer. I told him, we are doing the wrap party. Come over to the castle, and we're gonna take the picture of the poster. So he came over,
right.
He took the picture, and I told him, you know, 2 months more, 2 months, and I will be finished. I just need 2 months to edit in this little part that I just record, and the film is over. So it took me 11 years.
Took you 11 years after?
After, you know? So it's kind of crazy, you know? And that's why I like the poster so much, because you can see me a lot younger than I am now.
Yes.
You can tell
yes.
in the poster
yes.
that I am different person completely.
Yes.
So I didn't know that was going to be so difficult, especially to put all the pieces together. And there were so many great, great things. There are really some scenes that are really hilarious. That are not in the film because it was too long. So that's why I was thinking maybe to make a series about it, about the whole, you know, like a family history.
I would say with 400 hours of footage, I would say you've got a series.
Yeah, maybe 6 episodes.
That's remarkable. Well, listen, it's such a pleasure to meet you. Gustavo Samaran talking about his film, Lots of Kids, A Monkey and a Castle. And congratulations on a remarkable film. And thank you for letting us all into your family and into your story. I mean, it's such a beautiful reminder of the things that maybe we don't pay attention to are worth recording. And maybe physically recording, but also just talking about, reflecting on. And how important family is. And it's just, you've touched on so many things in this film.
Yeah, and I know families are difficult.
Mm.
I know for many people, when they go to see their parents in Christmas or in Thanksgiving, I don't know when, but you go to see your parents, and sometimes it's tough to listen to your parents because there is something that you...
Yep.
So I invite people to recall them because if you are recording your parents, you are focused, you are concentrate in the recording. So the words that you don't like to hear of them doesn't affect you that much. That's the first step.
You are
recording your father, and you are taking
looking
care of
through the camera, through the lens. Through it's a filter.
The lens. Yeah. It's like a filter. Okay.
Yeah.
That's first step. Second step, then you look what you record, and you discover that is different than what you are looking, because the camera is like a kind of filter. So then suddenly you realize that you discover something new from your family. That's very interesting.
It's wonderful advice.
And that can, in a way, be like a cure.
A cure.
If you have any problem with them.
As you said, better than a psychotherapist.
Yes, I really think so.
So record, look leads to, and look through the lens leads to a cure.
Yes, and the third part, mm-hmm. if you are crazy like me, you can make a film of it.
You can make a film.
Or make a little short of 3 minutes. Done with your computer, it's very easy to edit. Make a little short of your parents, like Scorsese did. Remember that short film of Scorsese, Martin Scorsese? He did a short film of his mother making the tomato sauce, and then
it's quite a challenge.
So it was very short. You can make something like that, and you will discover something new.
Well, it's wonderful, and what a great affirmation and a challenge and an encouragement to young filmmakers everywhere. Gustavo Samaran, today here with me today, talking about Lots of Kids, A Monkey and a Castle. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.